Well, good morning, each one. I'd like to anyone that is here visiting, we welcome you. Just before we start, I guess I just want to make one quick announcement concerning someone that has entered a very elite club. I don't know where he's at. Where's Lyle at? Is Lyle? Lyle's up in the balcony there. Lyle entered at a club. He's 50. So we want to congratulate Lyle. It's quite an elite club, although I sit with the young people there, Lyle, because I feel I'm less than 50, but I am over 50 also. I want to start this morning by just asking a few questions, a few general questions to everyone here. Maybe I see familiar faces, but these are questions that we can all answer. I'm not asking for you to answer them out loud. But the first question I have is, have you ever thought about the existence of God? Have you ever thought about the existence of God? Have you ever felt remorse about doing something? Felt bad when you've done something maybe that you feel is wrong? Have you ever felt remorse? Have you ever looked at the sky at night, on a clear night, and seen the stars and wondered? Wondered about all those stars, galaxies that you hear about. You ever wondered about how they came to be? Have you ever looked at, got up early enough and seen the sunrise and seen that big ball? And as the sun came out from the skyline, you'd wonder, how is that possible? I'd like to just suggest this morning that mankind, and more generally, or more specifically, you, have given something up in exchange. You've given up something good for something not so good. Have you ever gone into a car lot? I have. Gone into a car lot and looked at a brand new truck I have just recently. And said, man, I like that truck. And I looked at the price tag and I said, well, maybe not today. Or you ever gone to Home Depot? You guys have gone to Home Depot and looked at a tool that you liked and say, man, I would like to have that tool. Or, I don't know, women, have you ever gone to Bed Bath & Beyond? I don't know. And seen a household thing and said, man, I really like that, would look good in my kitchen. I'd like to use that in my kitchen. But in order for any of those things to happen, there has to be an exchange, doesn't there? There has to be an exchange. You have to give something in order to receive something. I want to suggest this morning that the importance of an exchange with the God of heaven needs to happen in your life this morning. There needs to be an exchange with the Creator, the one who put the stars in heaven, in the heavens, who created the sun, who created you. Our verse this morning is one verse. It actually is in Romans. I didn't intend to be in Romans, but as we're studying Romans, one verse caught my attention, and I want to read it. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. If you have a Bible, you can look it up. If not, just listen very carefully to this one verse in the Word of God. And we're going to try to go through this verse and just explain what this verse means. The Bible is full of these types of verses, but this one caught my attention, and it's probably not a very popular subject to talk about. But at the same note, there is hope. There is something beyond this verse that you can have this morning. Here's the verse. For the wrath or anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, or things that are not right, of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's a heavy verse. And I want to explain that, but hopefully by the time we're done this morning, you'll understand what that verse means. Let me read it one more time. For the wrath of God, or the anger of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness or things that are not right that men perform or do, men and women, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we're going to explain what that means. We're going to explain that verse by five simple points. I can't do five anymore here, but I can do five here. Who, what, where, when, why. So you'll walk away this morning, one verse, 5 points. Who is this verse addressing, first of all? We're going to explain a little bit about the verse and what it means, but who is the verse talking to? Well, it would be easy to say the politicians aren't right. And we're just coming up to it, we've just had an election, and you may have voted for something that you believed was right. You believed was good for the country, good for you individually. It was right. And so, but there was many politicians where you seen things that were wrong. He doesn't stand for the right thing. And you may not have voted for him. It would be easy to shove it off to the politicians and say, that's what this verse is talking about. But I want to suggest this morning that this verse addresses you personally this morning. You individually. Not your mother, your father, but you personally. You see, mankind, you've heard the story. I'm sure you've, if you've never read it, you've heard of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve started out with a knowledge of God. It said when God created Adam and Eve, they walked in the garden. They knew God. They had a sense of knowing who God was. Christianity begins with knowing the existence that there's a God. That's what Christianity begins with. Knowing that there is a God that exists. Man began with knowledge, not ignorance. Excluding yourself from this verse this morning would be very dangerous, I would submit to you. It would be very dangerous to exclude yourself from this verse. Here's a quote. Don't use subjective moral reasoning this morning. Don't use subjective moral reasoning. What do I mean by that? It simply means that you feel that you're better than someone else. So your reasoning is compared to just your neighbor or the politician. Your moral standard is a little higher than theirs. And so you feel you're doing pretty good in this life because you're a little better than them. Don't use your morality, compared to someone else's this morning. That would be dangerous. The standard this morning is perfection. The standard this morning is you can go no higher. You compared to the very all-powerful, infinite, perfect God. He's a standard. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness or things that you've done wrong as a human being. It's against you, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So you see that you're going to leave this morning at 12 o'clock, go out those doors, and you're going to have the ability this morning to choose. You have the ability this morning to choose. You can choose to ignore everything you've heard and to carry on and suppress the truth. That's what the verse is talking about. It's basically the truth that we're going to talk about this morning. You're going to put it in a box. You're going to throw the lid on it. And you're going to sit on it. And you're not going to let the truth come out. You're going to suppress it. I want to tell you, I suppressed the truth in unrighteousness for 21 years. I knew the truth, but I suppressed the truth. My unrighteousness, or really, Let's get right down to it. My sin came in the way. So, what are we talking about this morning when we talk about wrath? It says, the verse begins with, for the wrath of God. What does that mean? Well, it's anger. You've been angry before. I've been angry before. Do you think that God's wrath would exceed our anger? I want to tell you, it does. And if we go through the course of history, biblical history, we would see God pouring out his wrath on countries, individuals. I think of the flood, where only a handful of people were saved, and the rest drowned. I think of Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities in the Bible where there was moral depravity, and God wiped them off the face of the earth by his judgment and his wrath. That's what we're talking about, God's anger. It does not mean this morning that God is not love, that he's not merciful, that he does not show grace and loving kindness. I am not saying that. I'm not submitting that. God is his attributes are all very well balanced. But he will judge unrighteousness. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't be true to his character. God is 100% holy, separate from sin. I think it's important to remember when we talk about this, is I think that we have sometimes a very imbalanced view of who God is. You see, we don't supply God. We don't supply God. God supplies us. Therefore, if God supplies us, we are to live in constant thankfulness towards him. Why do you think your heart is beating this morning? It's not because of you. It's because of how God created you. How do you think there is oxygen on planet Earth? It's because God put it there. God is the sustainer of all life. He sustains your every breath. He allows you to be alive. I'm thankful this morning for God. It begins, Christianity begins with understanding that God exists. He's all powerful. He's infinite. He's all knowing. He knows everything about you better than you know yourself. The verse says, so we did the who, it's not the politicians or some public figure, it's all of us. It says where? Where is this anger coming from? Where is it displayed? It says from heaven. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, because we're going to start on the very bottom level of the existence of God. That's where it begins. But God has a Son, and this is what it says in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ this morning, God's Son. We're going to finish with that. But this verse tells me that if I do not believe on his Son, God's anger or judgment against me for my unrighteousness and my ungodliness hovers over you, hovers over people that have not submitted the knee and obeyed the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, you know what, I don't sense God's angry with me. My life's pretty good. I've got a good job, and I'm making strides towards a good-sized bank account, And maybe you're here this morning and you know what? Things are coming together. Your job prospects are good. And you've got a savings. And maybe you're even thinking about buying a house. Things are pretty good. If you are not born again this morning, things are not good. Things are not good this morning for you. Because it says, God's anger, although it's not on you right now physically, it says it's hovering over you. God's anger is hovering over you. It's stayed because God is balanced in all his attributes. He's not willing that you would perish in your sins. So he pulls back a little bit. But it's still there. God's anger still hovers over unrighteousness and ungodliness of people. And maybe you can put yourself in this verse this morning. That suppress truth. That have all your own desires. All your own aspirations. And you leave God out of the picture. Christianity, remember, starts with understanding that there is a God in whom you have to do with, in whom you answer to, in whom you are accountable to. You see, the difference when you suppress truth, what happens is it takes the place of light. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Lest their actions be brought forth into the open light. You see, none of us like to be wrong. I don't like to be wrong. I don't like to be wrong at work. I don't like to be wrong at home. I like to be right. We all want to be right, don't we? We all want to have the upper hand. We all want to say, you know what? I'm doing things right. But the problem is, if you're a sinner like I am, we don't have everything right. Because God, as I mentioned when we started, his standard is perfection. If you've attained perfection this morning, then you're 100% right. And if you want to come to me after and tell me about your righteous life, 100% never did anything wrong, I would love to hear about it. There's no one on planet Earth that is righteous. Only, and we're going to talk about that, when you have a standing, when you have understood how it is that you can become right before God. The soul that sinneth will die. Flee, the Bible says, from the wrath. Flee from it. Flee from the wrath to come. How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Well, you might say, well, there's no afterlife. There might be a God, but once this life's over, there's no big deal. We're just going to go into a casket and get buried 6 feet under. That's not true. That's not true. You were made, created, in the image of God. God is eternal. Your soul is eternal. You will exist forever. You will exist forever. The person that you see in the mirror, not the clothes, but the one that you look at, and your eyes meet those eyes in the mirror, that is your soul. That part of you will exist forever. And you will spend eternity under the judgment and anger of God because of your unrighteousness, or you will spend an eternity with the God who longs to have a relationship with you and will forgive you of all the things in your life that are not right. When will God throw down his judgment? Let's look at the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says about when he'll do that. 2 Thessalonians. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen as we read. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Speaking to Christians, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, one thing I'm not responsible for this morning is what you do with this. I'm not responsible for what you do with this. I don't say that lightly. I don't say that nonchalantly. You're responsible for what you do with this. You are, not me. This is the absolute truth. This is the gospel. Although it's been pretty much negative, we're going to talk about the good news of the gospel, but the reality is you're responsible to choose. You say, well, you know what? Let's go to the why. Why would God do this? Why would God, I'm a pretty good guy, I've never really done a whole lot that's big and bad, why would God judge me? That's a good question. That's a legitimate question. There's lots of good people. There's lots of good people on planet Earth that do good things. Why would they be judged by God? Because the standard is still perfection. And God has to be true to who he is. And if God is true to who he is, he cannot allow one individual, one small sin into heaven because he's 100% holy. That's why. You might think that's unfair because you've got a lot of good compared to your bad, but the standard is 100% perfection. I've fallen short of it, and so has everyone in this room. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who suppress the truth. The thing that holds down truth is darkness. The things that stop you from considering more about Christianity and about God and about the fact that maybe you are accountable to God is the things in your life that are wrong. What are they? Maybe it's cheating. I don't know. Maybe you cheated on an exam in high school. Maybe you said something to one coworker, bad to another coworker. That's gossip. It's wrong. See, there was a law given in the Old Testament. 10 Commandments. I'm sure you've heard of the 10 Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. All these things that you had to keep. Why would God give something like that to people? Laws and rules. It was to show them that they were inadequate. They could never achieve it. There would be pride. There would be something that come in the way that would make them fall short of what God had told them to do. God is eternal. He is infinitely powerful. He is self-sufficient. When you love sin, when you choose to go your own way and do your own thing, you choose sin over God. That's what you're doing. You're saying, I don't need God. I'm okay the way I am. I'll do whatever I choose to do. You can't have both. There's people that try to have both. They try to live a good life and do everything they want to do still. The wages of doing unrighteousness is sin. Is death. The wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. Separation from God. Jesus, God's Son, said this. I am the way. I am the truth. I am truth. I am life, not death. He said, I am the life. Man, you say that guy, every time he comes up and preaches, he's just like a broken record. He just keeps on talking about sin, judgment. I want to tell you this morning, when you leave here and you make a choice to go your own way, and you take what you've heard this morning and put it in a little compartment, maybe in your heart, and you close the door on that, and you suppress the truth, this verse tells me that God's anger is on you. God does exist. God is real. We are accountable to Him. Do you want to hold that truth and just shove it in a box and throw it away? That is dangerous. Absolutely dangerous to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? He's got a point. Maybe there is a God. Most people would say, yeah, maybe I think there's a God. Well, that's good. We're steering it in the right direction. Let's say that we all agree this morning that there is a God. Okay. Second step. He made you. Do you think He has any say in your life? In other words, do you think that you are responsible to Him in any way, shape, or form? Just don't forget, your next breath has come from Him. Well, that seems reasonable. I'm accountable to Him. So you believe there's a God, and you believe in some way you might be accountable to Him. You might have to do as He directs. That's two steps in the right direction. Thirdly, do you believe you've done anything wrong in your life? Do you think you've ever fallen short of the perfect standard? God never sinned. God is perfect. He's creator. He's all-powerful. And He's never sinned. He's never done anything wrong. Do you believe, most people would, I would say, believe that they've fallen short of that perfect standard? Step three. We're getting closer. You believe there's a God. Now remember, not a God, the God. There's only one creator. There's not multiple creators. There is a God. You agree with me this morning that you might be accountable to Him. That means, yeah, He might have a say on things because He does give me my breath. He does allow me to live on planet Earth. He allows me to breathe and to walk. So I am accountable to Him. And thirdly, I've fallen short of His righteous demands. That's three steps in the right direction. Are you going to heaven with knowing those three steps? No. It's not enough. What's the fourth step? Understanding that God had a plan so that you could not be unrighteous, but that you could become right with Him. You could become righteous. Remember we mentioned that? You could become righteous. How is that possible? I want to tell you from personal experience, I am born again. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I still have sin. I still do things wrong, and I confess them to God. God had a plan to save humanity. And it was in the person of His perfect Son. Everyone here knows why we celebrate Christmas in the traditional sense in North America. It's because Jesus Christ came as a baby and He was born into the world. He was God's son, and he was God's perfect son. He didn't come to get comfortable on planet Earth. His plan was well beyond that. God had a plan to make you right with him. Christianity, I want to say now, is more than just knowing that God exists. Christianity is centered around Jesus Christ, God's Son, and the plan that he had to save everyone, because we've all fallen short. So he allowed his son to be born into the world. And that little boy grew up. And he started to teach people. And it says they were amazed at his teachings. They were amazed at all the things he did right. And he started to heal people, healed sick people. People that were dead, he took them and made them alive. And a lot of people were just in wonder, in awe of this one called Jesus. It goes further than that, though. God had a plan to save you. Because if you understand you're unrighteous, that means you're separated from God. God had a plan to restore you back to himself. It's all about Jesus now. God the Father allowed Jesus to be born into the world. He was God's son. He was God in human form. And he walked on planet Earth for 30 years. In the last 3 years, he ministered. And then eventually, they hated him so much that they nailed him to a cross. Terrible, terrible thing to do. The Romans were cruel. They didn't want this one who claimed to be king to rule over them. This is what Christianity is all about. It's about Jesus Christ, this one who was nailed to a cross. That would sound pretty like a defeat. They won. They killed him. They didn't kill him. He gave up his life. They nailed him to a cross. And when Jesus Christ, God's son, who was God, died, you know what he said? It is finished. What did he mean by that? There was 3 hours when, even though it was day, it became dark. 3 hours of darkness where God the Father in heaven poured out his judgment, his anger on his son. That's what he did. He poured out all the anger that you deserve this morning. I'm telling you, he poured it all out for my sin and your sin and all the things that you did wrong. He poured it out on Jesus Christ. And the way to heaven is to simply say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for dying for me, for taking my place. I deserve the judgment. I deserve the anger of God. Why would he do that? I want to tell you as compassionately as I can, Jesus Christ did it because he loves you. He does not want to see you under the judgment of God. He loves you so much. He couldn't love you anymore. You're going to go out that door in 5 minutes. And you're going to make a decision. You're going to say, I'm going to just put this truth of Jesus Christ and how he came to planet Earth to save me from my sin and to bring me back to God, or else I will suffer judgment for all eternity in a place called hell. I can put it back in a box and pretend I've never heard it. And I'll just carry on with my life because it's pretty good. Or you can bow the knee and you can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you can say, God, thank you for sending your son. It happens in a moment of time when you believe and rest in the fact that there was a substitute. There was someone that stood in the gap between you and God, and God judged him for your unrighteousness and your ungodliness. I think you've agreed with me this morning. Maybe you haven't. I hope you have, that there is a God. I think you've agreed that you've fallen short of a perfect standard. You would have to. None of us are perfect. And I'm telling you on the authority of this book that there's someone that stood in the gap for you. It's real stuff. It is absolutely real. And don't suppress the truth. Don't hold it down. Believe it. And you will gain eternal life. You will no longer be in that condition where you're separated from God. You'll be linked to Him. You'll have eternal life. He promises that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have that text up in our, when we moved into our home, I wanted that text up on the wall because that's the verse that I got saved on. And so my wife started looking online and she found a mural. It was actually an open Bible, a picture of an open Bible. And so you could measure up the wall in which you wanted this and they would actually blow it up to the exact size of that wall. So I measured it up and I told Kelly and so we got the mural and we put it on the wall. And it's a text of an open Bible and has John 3:16 amongst a few other verses before and after. But you know what I thought this morning as I was at my table preparing this message? 10 feet over from that mural, we have those of you that have been in our home, you see that big clock in the corner of our home? There's a big clock. It's huge. My wife planned our whole room around that clock. She wanted that clock to be seen in the living room, in the kitchen, in all the open space so that everyone could see the clock wherever you were sitting. But you know what I thought of this morning? That verse is 10 feet away from that clock. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You might have your whole life planned out. You even how many kids you're going to have. But you will die. It's guaranteed. One out of every one in this room will die. And the question is, simply this, where will you spend eternity? There's no more important question than that. Nothing trumps it. There's no higher elevated question for you this morning than this. Where will you spend eternity? I trust I've been clear. Thank you for coming. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful that left to ourselves, we would never make it. We're thankful that you had a plan to send your perfect Son who loved us, who was willing to suffer your anger against our sin so that we could be set free. Father, I can't create anxious thoughts. I can't save anyone. The truth of the gospel is good news. There's great news this morning. I trust that no one here will leave suppressing the truth. Father, we're thankful not only are you angry, we're thankful, Father, that you're long-suffering, you're patient, you're not willing that anyone in this room would suppress that truth to the point where they would die in their sins. We trust that they would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if they don't understand, they would look into it further. And Father, they wouldn't have a restful moment until they understood that Jesus Christ was their substitute. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.